less. yeah. I'm not pushing very hard. Oh, Christ be magnified.
Son of God and the Savior of the world. While Jesus...
That should be okay. Could even be slightly less, but I think when everyone plays, it'll be a bit more easier to play.
It's loud if I'm really close. From about here, I'm okay. So we probably could turn it down slightly. I need a new mic stand.
Oh, Christ be magnified.
It's still a bit boomy, like it might like some sort of gainy thing, but I could be wrong. Well, I don't know sound words. Check, 1, 2. I'm hearing it in here, but I'm not really using that fold. I'm using this front fold, that's why. Yeah, because I'm more forward on this on these keys. Yeah, it's quite big back there, but then here, 1, 2, check, 1, 2, still there. 1, 2, check, 1, 2, check, 1, 2, definitely coming out of there now, which is good. Check, that's better. Yes, I think it was just booming from behind me, and I was like, what? Yeah, no, that's better. Creation suddenly articulate. Much better. Woo! Cool. Nice. Riley's taking a break.
chill. You do. It's all coming out of this back one.
Well, mostly. Oh, there we are. That sounds good. Nice. It was a little loud overall. It might overpower. Cool. So Will, are you okay with the iPad? Ready? Anyway, we'll do the chords that are in that turnaround, so with that A. Nice. Cool. Alrighty. One, two, three, four.
Now, God has his plans for his church, of building the church, and we want to do it his way. And the church we're discovering is that we're here to show the rest of the world how good and loving and wonderful our God is, to be God's mouthpiece and hands and feet in a world that is hurting and needs to know about his love, don't they? And God is all about relationships. And so as a community of faith, we are also here to show how doing a relationship well actually looks like. That's our aim. So we're going to look at doing that. The Bible does talk a lot about how to do it, but sometimes I think, yes, we know how to or what we're meant to do, but how are we meant to actually do it? And so hopefully we'll think about that a bit more today, about how do we actually do relationships well? And so we're going to look at that. We're going to look at a passage from Paul who loved the church, and he planted churches all around the place in his day, and he would write lots of letters to churches, and we see that in the New Testament, to encourage them, to help them to know how to do church well and how to relate well. And we know that for Paul in his day, the government didn't always enjoy what he was saying, and so at one point they did put him in prison, because he was telling everyone about Jesus and telling everyone about how to grow in Jesus. And so, but even in prison, Paul's heart is so much for other people and for the welfare of the church, because he knows that God loves the church. And so he kept writing letters. And today we're looking at one of his letters from being written in church. Written from prison. No, he didn't write in church. Okay, so we're going to look at Ephesians 4, and just the first three verses. So we're going to really deep dive into just three verses today while we're together. Just reading those out. So as a prisoner for the Lord, so yep, he's in prison at this point. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Great verses. And let's see if we can do this. This is awesome. He starts out, he's obviously a prisoner in jail, and he says, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. And Paul has been writing about what it means to follow Christ. That's our calling, to believe in what Jesus has done, that he's given us freedom from sin and Satan and death by dying on the cross and rising to new life. So live according to that. And a part of doing that is staying connected with Jesus and to one another. So we are called to be connected deeply with one another. So the calling that we have received is to be the church. We're called to be the church. And to live a life worthy is live a life that is in step with this calling, with being a community of faith together that God's brought together. So it sounds great. Okay, so we know what our aim is. We're to live as the church. And he doesn't leave it there. He gives us some instructions. So we're going to look at verse 2 for a little bit together. So be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Heaps in that sentence about what do they mean and how do you do it. So what we're going to look at today, first off, is humility. What does it mean to be humble? And so straight away, I'm going to hand it over to you. We're going to put up some questions up there. So around your tables for the next sort of, I don't know, 5-6 minutes or so, why don't you work through these questions and think about what is humility and what isn't it? What does it look like to be a humble person? And what impact does humility have on community? Can you think of any examples? Yeah. So munch away. You've got brain food there on the tables. Get stuck into that. And then I'm going to come around and you're going to share some of your thoughts of the larger group. So have a think about what your answers might be, what sticks out for you. Great. Okay, sounds like some good discussion going on there. And I'm interested to hear what your responses are. But welcome to our lovely visitors today. Welcome, yay! Now the party can really get started. You're here. Today we're talking about community and how we can do that well. And so we're looking at some scripture, and a part of that is about being humble with each other. And so these guys have just been talking about it. So you're going to hear some wonderful responses from these guys. You're going to be blown away, I'm sure. Okay, so what is humility? Oh, great, no worries. And what is it not? Who feels like they've got a bit of a gauge as to what I think we might start with this table, because they felt that they'd really talked it out so well. So what is humility and what isn't it? Oh, they're so humble, no one wants to take the microphone.
So humble, I'm just going to pass it over.
So we talked about humility being realizing that it's not everything is about me. How much do you want me to talk?
That's okay. That's, I mean,
help me jump in too. You know, learning to listen, being slow to judge, and quick to hear.
That's great.
Because I don't know everything.
Oh, that's a big thing to realise, hey. And what isn't it? Because do people get mixed up with what humility is, but then they do something else that's not really...
Not like self-effacing and speaking down on yourself.
Yeah. It's not about putting yourself down and thinking you're worth nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But a sober
understanding. It's what?
But a sober understanding of your strengths and your faults.
You guys are great.
You know.
Wonderful. Yeah. Awesome. I really like that. Anyone else wanted to chip into that? Now, we have a very, very cerebral group over here. I feel like there's wisdom flowing out from this table. Yvette, please. What is humility?
We think being humble is about be open-minded and be respectful to others, people's opinion, and don't hold too much biases, presumptions, and assumptions from our backgrounds, our beliefs, like that.
So good. Yeah, that's great, Yvette. And I think, too, you know, that's great about, you know, not... it's being very self-aware in what you're saying as well, isn't it? Because sometimes we can have biases and be unaware that we hold onto an opinion and we just think, well, that's obviously right. But, you know, in a context, different context, it might not be. Other people might have a different worldview and see things differently. So it is holding things loosely in a way. That's good. I like this whole idea of being soberly... mindful of who you are, not thinking so highly, but not so lowly as well. Beautiful. All right, what does it look like to be a humble person? How do you think they might behave? What's their, what do you think, you know, if you meet someone, how would you think, oh yeah, they're humble. How would you know?
They have a good heart.
Do they?
Yeah.
Chloe, tell us.
to be a humble person, I suppose, is to kind of step down and acknowledge other people's wisdom as opposed to your own and their ideas, and not base every decision you make around your own understanding. Acknowledge that there is something more than me. So I suppose.
I really like that, Chloe. That's really good. Yeah. Good. What are the sort of characteristics or behavioural characteristics might we find in someone like this?
Ooh, all the young ones. Come on.
We, like, kind of touched on as well a bit about how, like, being humble is thinking about, like, what do you want in return, I guess, for your actions and stuff? What was your intention behind doing something? I kind of use the example of, like, if I give $5 to a homeless person and then, like, you know, I'm thinking I'm a great person and, you know, they should be thankful and whatnot and I should feel great, and then they swear at me and go, where's more money? Humility is then not me getting upset and going, well, I'm not doing that again. What was the point? Yeah.
That's wonderful, Josh. You're really starting to talk about our heart attitude. What's going on inside matters. Yeah. So it's not just about what it looks like on the outside, but what we're thinking about on the inside. You know, are we wanting to get something out of it? It's still all about you then, isn't it? Even if you do something that looks humble and looks very sacrificial, it actually is still all about you. It can be all still all about you. That's right. Excellent. I really love that. Anyone else want to add to that? Alison.
Giving your lollipop to someone
else. We did talk about how if you know your identity and know who you are, then the humility can come out of that.
Excellent. So you're not having to prove who you are or make yourself feel good because you already know, you feel solid in that. Love that. That's really great. Excellent input. What about the next question then? So if we practice humility in community, what does that do in terms of relationships and how we connect, that sort of thing? Did you talk about that? What might be the impact of that? Yeah, Tim. Okay, here comes the microphone for you.
Thank you. I think if you've got a community where everybody is behaving humbly, one thing that we had in our conversation was that being humble is thinking about other people, not just thinking about yourself, recognising my needs are not the only important thing here. Mm. Those people's needs, your needs and so on are important. Yeah. If everybody's living like that, then everybody gets cared for, everybody feels welcome, everybody feels included, and you're going to have a better community. But even if, let's say, half the people are doing that, even that is going to have an impact. It's not as powerful as with everyone's doing, but even when you've got some people in a community doing that, for one thing, other people will start to feel cared for and whatever, which means that they'll have less hurt, which means they might be willing to care for other people, and over time it can work through the whole community.
Yeah, that's wonderful, Tim. I love that. Oh, you're getting a round of applause from your daughter. You're related. I think that's pretty good.
Chloe.
I think I deserved it.
You're learning from Chloe.
Well done.
Yeah, similar.
Yeah, obviously, so our behaviour is contagious, isn't it? It can be. I mean, good behaviour and bad behaviour, actually. So if a lot of people are doing that, preferring the needs of others, like when you come along on a Sunday and a new person comes along, and rather than thinking about, it's a bit scary reaching out sometimes, and it can be too because they're unknown, it's not about you all the time, is it? About our experience when we go to into a space, but how can we make someone else feel cared for? And maybe that might push us out of our comfort zones a little bit too. That's great. And what a great way to build community. Yeah. And you're saying if everyone did it, wouldn't that be great? But doing it's not always that easy, is it? It's not always easy to think about someone else. We are very consumed with self. But we are called to, Paul is urging us to be completely humble, it said. Completely. That's amazing. That's something we're always going to be in process, I think, working towards. It's not just a little bit humble, it's completely humble. Wow. Great to let those words sink in, isn't it? And humility, we don't talk a lot about it in general conversation. It can be a little bit of we might think it's a bit of an ancient idea in a way to live a humble life. And I think in this day and age, when we're always talking about, you know, our self-esteem, making sure that we're okay, it might seem a little bit outdated. But humility actually is a very positive attribute for us to consider. It has nothing to do with being weak, but it's an attitude. And people have said too about being sober-minded and a spiritual modesty of realising that we are a part of something much bigger. We're a part of a big story here on earth. And it also helps us then to not take our own desires, our successes, or even our failings too seriously, because we're a part of something much bigger. And I think that's awesome. Yeah, I really love that. And humility can also help us in terms of recognising our own limitations, because I can't do it all. You can't do it all. And realising that that's okay. And that's another way of experiencing humility. And in that then too, as we've said, we value other people's perspectives. And it really helps us too to not be too defensive when people give us feedback, and there are situations, especially if you're a student or in any situation, when someone feeds back to you something about how they see you behaving or something you've done, humility will help you not get defensive about that, but to hear it, you know. And the Bible talks about how it's really wise, a wise person receives and hears feedback. And of course, if you do get feedback, then you talk to the Lord about it and see, is that feedback something I should take on? But in the first instance, you're not defensive about that. You can actually listen and heal and hear what's actually being said. And humility can really strengthen relationships, and we've talked about that. And if anyone, as we're influencing others in leadership or in any way like that, it also helps us to encourage that everyone else gets to have a go. No one's feeling like they've got it all. We actually all need each other. And humility really helps to foster that. I love what's coming out. That was really fantastic. And today we're going to look at a couple of little video clips. And they're really like for kids, but they're funny. And I remember reading a significant man in the Lord, a great man of faith, George Mueller, and he put together these orphanages and in miraculous ways these kids were fed. But when he spoke, he said, I always aim to speak at a 12-year-old, because if they get it, the likelihood is everyone else will get it too. So I figured, oh yeah, I reckon these kids' videos are pretty cute. But there's one I want to play now, and it just goes for a few minutes. But it has another look at what humility is like. So if we can play that, that would be fantastic.
Stories of the Bible. Jesus teaches about humility. This is Jesus.
Heyo!
Who is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. While Jesus was on earth, he taught everyone about God's love. He healed many people from their sickness, performed many miracles like calming storms, and even raised people from the dead.
Wahoo!
There were a group of Jewish leaders called the Pharisees who heard Jesus speak often. One of the Pharisees, named Simon, asked Jesus to have dinner with him.
Come on over. Oh, okay. Sounds good.
So Jesus went to Simon's home for dinner, and everyone was watching Jesus closely.
Oh, hey guys.
Jesus noticed that all the people at the dinner were trying to sit at the best seats at the table.
Aww.
So he told them this story.
When someone invites you to a wedding feast, don't take the most important seat.
Hey, how's it going?
The host may have invited someone more important than you.
Excuse me.
And if you are sitting in the most important seat, the host will come to you and say, give this man your seat.
I'm sorry.
Then you will begin to move down to the last place, and you will be very embarrassed. So when you are invited, go sit in a seat that is not important. Then the host will come to you and say, friend, we have a better place for you. Then all the other guests will respect you. Everyone who makes himself great will be made humble. But the person who makes himself humble will be made great.
Very cute. So I guess in that one too, it's just showing that as we don't take ourselves too seriously, as we think about the bigger picture, and we are humble, then we're much more flexible and able to be moved around too, to be moved up or moved down. With God, there is no high or low position. Everything he asks us to do is important. We just get into trouble when we compare and compare by worldly standards. God just wants us to follow what he's doing and be obedient and submit to him and to one another in Christ. So, very cute. And another way to talk about humility. Okay, well done, guys. I think you deserve a break. We're going to have afternoon tea now. So we've got hot water over on the side. We've got freshly baked cookies by Natasha and some other ones as well. Woohoo! So for the next 10 minutes, if you need a toilet break, of course you're open to do that. And go and grab yourself a cuppa and come back to your tables and we'll start and do the next part. Awesome. We'll come back in about another 2 minutes. So enjoy your conversation and we'll start wrapping it up. Okay, guys, how about we grab our cups of tea and coffee or whatever it is you've got and come back to your tables. We'll have more mixing and mingling and eating and drinking afterwards, so you'll be able to continue then. Awesome. It's always good to stop for a cuppa and have something more to feed your brain as we can continue on and think about some of our discussion points this afternoon. Awesome, well done. So we're going to pop up the verse again, verse 2. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. There's so much we could pick out today. But the next one we're going to look at is what it means to be patient. Because I'm sure you're all really good at being patient all the time. And patience is one of those things that we need it for ourselves. You know, sometimes we're waiting for something to happen and it's not quite happening the way we want. And sometimes we need to be patient for our circumstances. Sometimes we've asked God, God, can you show me or lead me in a specific way? And we might sense that something is going to happen. Maybe it doesn't happen right now. And so sometimes in that sense, we have to practice patience. patience as well. But there's also that patience that we get to give to others, that we are patient with one another. I found that there's four kind of other meanings that can sort of go along with patience. So there's endurance. We're willing to sort of really go the long haul in a situation or with people. Constancy, steadfastness, perseverance. So again, patience, like humility, is one of those sort of really deep kind of characteristics, aren't they, to develop within that really bring depth to who we are in our character and in our life. Something to think about. And guess what? I've got another cute kidsy video. I've only got two, so this is just the second one. But we're going to watch... Oh, very good. Sorry, go back about patience.
Fruit of the Spirit. Patience. So part of God's story is about the fruit of the Spirit. And it goes like this.
Stop playing. Stop again.
The Bible says the fruit...
Yeah, stop. It's not playing up. Oh, is it playing up there? Oh, I'm so sorry. Please keep going. I'm looking here and it's not working.
Gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. They're all good to have, and they all come from God. But for now, let's focus on patience. When the Bible talks about patience, it's more than just waiting for something you want. Sometimes, patience means waiting for God to do something only He can do, like bringing justice or putting a stop to someone's pain. The Bible is full of stories about people being patient, and patient for a little while longer, and patient for a really, really, really long time. Patience is when you choose to trust God's promises. Patience means you believe that no matter how much time something takes, no matter how difficult it is to wait, that God is still good, and that God always keeps His promises. Now, it's not always easy to wait, and we are all probably waiting on God for something. It's okay to feel impatient, but it's also possible to feel impatient, but to practice patience. The Bible shows us what it looks like to have patience no matter what is going on. Psalm 40 says, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and He heard my cry." And Romans 8:25 says, "If we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience." Jesus showed patience when His followers didn't understand the things He had taught them. He took time to explain His parables and sometimes had to patiently correct His friends. Like one time when James and John, who after 3 years of Jesus teaching them to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, still asked Jesus to call down fire on a village and destroy it, all because they didn't welcome Jesus and His friends. But violence is the opposite of what Jesus had been teaching them. Instead of choosing to be violent, Jesus showed even more patience when others were violent to Him, when He suffered and even died on a cross, even though He hadn't done anything wrong. And 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." Which is another way of saying that even when we aren't patient with God, He is patient with us. And when we try to do things our own way, God is still patient with us. In case you missed it, God's always patient with us. It's part of who God is. When we choose to wait and trust God's promises, when we choose patience, we're choosing to be like God. And when we are patient with other people, when we forgive them and serve them, we are showing God's patience to others. Practicing patience is part of what it means to have the fruit of the Spirit. Maybe you can think of something you need to be patient with right now. You can ask God to help you practice patience. And as you experience God and grow in your faith, the Spirit can grow more patience in your life.
This is giving us some ideas about patience, okay? So I hope you're taking note. So we're going to come to another time of discussion and thinking about this whole thing of patience. So we can have those up on the screen. So for the next 7 minutes, why don't you talk amongst yourselves again about what you describe yourself, would you describe yourself to be a patient person? Why or why not? When is it difficult to be patient with others? When has someone been patient with you and how did it feel? And what's going to be interesting, I think, as with the previous discussion, is that we're all in different spaces and places, different ages, different experiences. So you're going to have different things that you'll need to be patient about, or your experiences will be different. So that'll be great to share at the end as well. So get together. You've got your brain food and you've got some time. Discuss some of these things and we'll hear from you after. Go for it, team. Do I have to be any more patient, or do you think we can do we need a bit more time? One more minute. Okay, okay, one more minute. Keep going. Okay, I've been patient long enough. Sounds good. I've been eavesdropping as I've been walking around. It's some interesting stuff coming out. I reckon we've had a couple of tables that haven't answered anything yet, so why don't we start with the centre back one this time? They're looking around. Ali and MJ, your table with Melissa and, yeah. Okay, I don't think maybe we can skip, would you describe yourself as a patient person? Maybe we'll skip that one because that's a little bit personal, isn't it? Why don't we go to number two? When is it difficult to be patient with others?
We kind of talked about that a bit. I think sometimes we can be patient most of the time, but then if something like you're tired or there's something going on in your life and then you go into work and something happens and then you just lose your patience. But then most of the time, like, you could deal with it weeks and weeks and weeks, and then all of a sudden just snap because you're tired or got something going on. Yeah.
Yeah, very, very good point. I think we can all relate to that, Melissa. Thank you. Okay, what about in the back there? You can answer the first one if you want to, but
I'm okay with that.
Fair enough. Number two, when is it difficult?
Well, throwback to the first questions about humility, we were saying that when you're feeling prideful, it's hard to be patient with someone. So when you're thinking, oh, you know, I already know this, they should also know it, or oh, I know what they're doing wrong, they should be doing it this way instead. I think it's in those moments where you see yourself being frustrated and you find it difficult to meet them where they are at.
I love it. Very good. Yes, because pride really... Yes, give it a round of applause, I think. Good response there. Because pride really is the opposite of humility. So pride will just wreck relationships because, as Daniel rightly said, you kind of feel like, well, I know the right way to do this, or I know what the right response should be. They're not doing it. So pride gets in the way, and very hard to be patient when you are prideful, or where you just think, I know it all and I know what's right. Who else would like to just... I'd like to hear some more examples about when it's difficult. Oh, toes over there to the table in the corner. Thank you, John. Welcome, John.
Hello. I got caught, didn't I?
I'm sure you'll cope well.
What are we tackling? Number three is...
Number two?
Number two. I echo exactly what's been said by others. What I would add is I have trouble knowing when to stop being patient. I can be patient, 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 and then I'm thinking, this should not be going on forever. Where do we draw a boundary on this? Ooh. So that's my contribution to this.
Wow, you're answering the question with a question.
So patient have limitations.
Strategic move there. Yes.
I mean, to add to that, we have the example of Jesus telling the widow who pestered the judge and says, keep on knocking on the judge's door until you get the answer. Same thing with prayer, you know. Yes, God hasn't answered yet. That doesn't mean I just sit patiently. It means renew, God, I'm waiting for an answer here.
That's about persevering in prayer, isn't it? That whole parable. That's right. There's a, which is also another word for patience that we looked at, isn't it? To really persevere, to be patient. But it's not just a passive thing. We're doing something. Yeah, we're actively engaging.
So another translation of patient is long suffering. Mm. Willing to suffer long when the situation, and it was an army word where I will suffer long until all my people in my platoon will be safe. Mm. So they patiently wait until everybody get through.
Yeah, and soldiers aren't being passive, they're actively advancing, aren't they? So, yeah. But it's an attitude again of the heart, which is really good. Thank you, John. Let's open it up to this side. Maybe another one about difficult. When is it number two? When is it difficult? Maybe let's do Karis's table. Just to get another perspective.
I said it's difficult to be patient with others when we don't see eye to eye on something. So if it's like a different situation, I mean, we're in the same situation, but we see things differently. And you're trying to understand from their point of view, but you don't understand. Just it's a bit hard to be patient in that
bit
scenario.
Of a gridlock kind of thing. Yeah. Yeah. So that can be tricky too, isn't it? Especially if we're trying to think that we're right. Shall we move along to number three? Or maybe I should. Now, John, what was your question? How long should we be patient for? I think that's another good question. What do you think? You know, sometimes we're patient with someone. They're still doing the wrong thing. We're patient. They'll get it right someday. What's our thoughts? Who's got a thought about that? Oh, Jake's got a thought. He doesn't know it, but he's got
smiling.
A thought about that.
What? I was praying for an answer. This too hard.
Now you've got to give the answer. How long should we be patient? Is it goes on forever?
Well, I'm going to test your patience for waiting for my answer. I think when your patience is no longer your intention, when you're not anymore purely patient. I mean, when you don't have love in your patience, when you start to hate and you try to attribute that to your sacrifice. I imagine, I don't know, in a relationship you can sacrifice, but you can sacrifice because of love, but you can also sacrifice for the sake of feeling that I am the one who sacrificed and you should have done your part as well. And I assume it applies to many aspects in life. Yeah. Work, relationship, friendship. Yeah.
So it's when our patience no longer becomes patient because we can't actually give of ourselves to be patient. You're saying that's when it ends in that situation.
When it's not propelled by love.
When it's not propelled by love. Yeah, very good point. Yeah. Well done, Jake.
There's actually a scripture in 1 Corinthians 13 that said love is patient.
That's right. So if you've got no love, there's no patience. That's right. And I guess sometimes we just need wisdom as well, because we're patient with someone to get to a certain point, and maybe at some point we need a bit of wisdom and discernment, think, you know what, you're not suited for that job or whatever it is, because maybe there needs to be a bit of a change as well. But that's great. That was my little bit of a chip in too. What about question three? When has someone been patient with you? How did that feel? They might have had the real option to really cut you short, but they didn't. They were patient with you. How did that feel?
Dr. Neil.
He's nodding with agreement.
When I first came along, I was broken, and Toa, Maria, and everyone else here was very patient with me. How did that make me feel? Loved. How did it make me feel? Self-worth. How did it make me feel? Go forward.
Yeah.
And be blessed by God.
Awesome. That's great. Great outcome of patience. Yeah, we need patience with each other, don't we, to build good community, a great family of God. One more person about how did it, what it was like to experience patience.
I'm thinking of a couple of examples, and so just very quickly I won't elaborate, but a particular job I was in when I was working in a bank, and I was not a good bank teller. I was good at the sales side, but I had my manager went on leave for 4 weeks someone else came in, and that someone else immediately put me on probation. And she was furious when she got back. She said, that would have been my job, but I didn't think it was appropriate. But that manager could see that I was developing some skills that were going to become useful. And by sort of persevering with me and letting me work that out, I never became a good bank teller, but I did become a good personal banker. And she could see that even though I wasn't fit for that job, you got to do that one for a while before you move into being a personal banker, which is an advisory role where you're advising people what to do with their finances. And she could see that I would be able to do that. So I think there the patients had an ability to see something that other people hadn't seen.
Yeah.
And very briefly, I just feel like the person who's most patient with me, Chloe will have a bit of laugh at this, but my wife, who some of you know, Jill, one thing, when I was sick for 5 years, and she patiently, there was some debate about whether that was really physical sickness or whether it was in my mind and so on, which would be very hard to deal with. Mm-hmm. And I have seen marriages break up in that sort of situation, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. she was patient with me in that.
That's
and
beautiful.
That's one example, but many, yeah. many times she has been.
That's beautiful. Thank you, Tim. I think the beautiful thing about your examples, Tim, is that patience opens up a space for the other and invites change or invites growth to happen without expectation and pressure. But patience creates this beautiful space for the other person just to be and to be encouraged to explore without that pressure of what if I can't get it right. So that's beautiful. And I can see how God wonderfully works in that. And he does that with us, doesn't he? He's so patient with us, all the stuff that we get wrong all the time. And, you know, but he's so wonderfully and beautifully patient with us. That's wonderful. Thanks so much, guys. That's great sharing. We're going to go to the next slide just to look again at that verse. Again, be completely humble, gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love. And this bearing with one another is kind of similar, I guess, in tone of what we've been saying. It's being able to show tolerance, be tolerant, to endure with one another, to be willing to endure the journey of life with each other. And the key there is, but do it in love. And Jake brought that out beautifully, that all of this is to be done in love. And I guess with that thought, it's like, well, what type of love? You know, we talk about love in all sorts of ways. I mean, I love cake. I shouldn't, but I love cake. I love cats. And I love my husband. So you would hope that all those types... That's in no specific order. But, of course, they're all different types of love, aren't they? And the Bible has different words for love as well. But the love that they're talking about here is a sort of love that God shows us and has for us. And God's love, as demonstrated to us, is sacrificial. You know, God will stop at nothing to show us how much he loves us. That's why Jesus was willing to come and die. It's holy and pure and perfect. So beautiful is God's love. It's constant. And, you know, the Bible tells us his love will never leave us. How reassuring is that? But it's also fiery and passionate. He pursues us in love all the time. That's what God's love is like. And so Paul is saying, do all of these things. Do it with the type of love that God has for us. And so I think with that, you know, wow, that's amazing love. And the next question on the slide to come is, do you think it's possible that we can actually love others well, really well, without experiencing God's love for ourselves? Because it's really hard to give away something that you don't know. You know, it's very hard to give away something you're not filled up with yourself. And so I think a part of what we do for others is also an invitation for us to be in a space, you know, be intentional about saying, God, I really want to know who you are more and more. This love sounds fantastic and I read about it and it's great. We should continue to read our Bibles because it keeps showing us how great God's love is for you. And we need to say, yes, thank you, God, for that, and allow that love to really fill you up. Then that makes it so much more possible for us to be able to give that away in humility and patience and persevering with others. So we come to the very last part of our three verses, and the next slide says that we will need to make every effort, with all that we've just done, make every effort also to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So with this, we're not going to linger on, but I think it's good for us to consider, you know, what stands out for you in this, you know, and with all of this and what we've been talking about, you know, does it challenge us to think about how we might respond and behave moving forward? You know, make every effort is really talking about, you know, Paul saying be really diligent is the word I was looking for, and be quick about it, you know, and it's going to take some effort. This stuff doesn't come easy. We do have to think about it. We do have to be intentional, you know, and to keep, you know, that means really we want to guard and keep safe and carefully keep safe these beautiful things that we've talked about and this beautiful unity that God wants for us to have, to share where we are. It's a unity of the Spirit. And that means it's not a unity. You know, we're not going to be all unified about my opinions or your opinions. But it's saying, hey, God has wonderful plans and purposes for us. His Spirit is leading us. Let's all be seeking God together, reading our Bibles, praying together, meeting together through the week. And we've got lots of opportunity for that, that we might be united in the Spirit with one another. And we do it through the bond of peace. So the bond, or what binds us all together, that's what it means. What helps to bind all of this together is peace, which can also mean harmony and that sense of security and safety. All wonderful things that we've talked about that help to be built through some of the things we've been discussing today. So as we come to, look, I really thank you for all your wonderful contributions. It's been fantastic. And I think this is a great way to think, wow, other people have got some great things to say, and it's really great to hear from each other. And we're going to finish our time out today with communion. Because I think it's good to have another look back at God, because we need God's help. don't we? We need really need God's help. And today, if you're visiting or when we come to this time of communion, it's a wonderful love feast that God has invited us into. And when Jesus did that, we like to do it based on how he did it. And when he did it, he had this wonderful feast of sharing bread and wine, and he shared it with people who were his friends, but they didn't always really understand who Jesus was. In fact, he knew there was one person there who was about to betray him to death. The others were soon going to be showing how prideful they were because they wanted to talk about who's the greatest amongst them. And just when he needed them the most, they were going to leave him and reject him and be scattered. And yet, Jesus, knowing all of that, said, just as you are, come. I want you to come and share this meal with me. And so as we come to this time of communion, the invitation is open to everyone who would want to have Jesus, this beautiful God of love, partake and connect with that beautiful love that Jesus brings, his life. So everyone is welcome to partake, and if you don't want to, that's absolutely fine too. We'll just be doing it around our tables. But as we do that, we're going to sing a song first. I'll just get Holly and her team to come. Well, there you go. Well, I'm humble, and I know how to take a lead from someone else. That's good. We're not going to have a song. Okay. So we need the Lord in his presence. He knows how we've been made. We're all weak, and we've talked about that, haven't we? You know, we can just lose a night's sleep and have things not turn out the way we want, and we can easily not be patient in that moment. And Paul knows that too. And so, you know, we've been looking at some verses, and prior to that he writes this really beautiful prayer. And just before I do that, I might just ask then that could I just have some volunteers to just bring the elements around? That'd be great. So all are welcome just to take a cup and a little bit of the biscuit. People getting a bit cold. It's just circulating the outside air in, I think, that's all. Great. Oh, actually, I might need some too. Awesome. Thanks so much. Thank you. Lovely time. Great. We're just going to put up that scripture up now. It's a prayer from the book of Ephesians, or the letter that Paul wrote from chapter 3. And so as I read this out, you might just like to close your eyes or look at the words. That's fine. And we're going to receive this as a prayer for us today. I pray that out of God's glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So let's eat and drink together, remembering Christ's life is in us to be the person and the people that he's called us to be, that he has given us everything that we might be his wonderful church. So let's eat. Let's do both together, eat and drink. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you give us all that we need. Well, we've come to the end, but what I would love us to do is just to remain in this beautiful attitude of receptivity from the Lord, and let's just spend a few moments just praying about maybe some of the stuff we've talked about today that those at the table would be able to experience and give it to others. And we're just going to, so let's just pray for one another for the next 3 minutes, 4 minutes, not long. But I think it would be great to bless one another. It's a great way to love one another. If you don't feel you to pray, that's fine. Maybe someone can, or I'll pop over. And then we'll finish with a song. And we'll be ready to move into dinner and more hanging out. All right. So let's pray. Let's pray for one another.